Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 219 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of September 14th, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is expert ass pain, Dan Ryan.
I'm looking at it right now as you're reading the script, Chris. why is tonight is underlined in red?
Yeah, I can't figure it out. Word seems to think correctly. It's not spelled correctly.
Fair enough. Hey, I am an expert ass pain.
Microsoft Word. It actually wrote expert in ass pain, and I said it wrong. But you're both an expert ass pain and an expert in ass pain, so I think it works all around.
It really does.
It really does. Geekade's annual Pain in the Assathon charity event is just over a week away, and Dan and I are getting ourselves ready for Butthurt. We're going to be feeling for the benefit of the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. So, Dan, how the heck are you?
Well, Chris, I'm pretty good. See, first of all, I'm drinking a hot toddy this evening as we record. It's a little spiced apple cider with some butterscotch schnapps thrown in there because I am fancy AF. And
I've always thought of you as fancy.
It's just delicious. I forgot the whipped cream, but it's quite delicious. And no, man, things are good. I finished all the challenge stuff in Guacamelee 2.
Nice.
Which was super hard. It was so hard. Like, the final, like, chicken crucible that you have to go through is so hard. Just repeatedly going through it, like, oh, god damn. But anyway, you have to get that to get the good ending. So I went through and finished the game again, and then I'll work on hard mode at some point, because on top of that, last week in Puzzle and Dragons, they had brought back one of the old challenge dungeons, the Sunken Serpent Labyrinth, and I believe I had bitched and moaned about it quite a bit the last time it was around, because the final floor of this dungeon was just super hard, and I just couldn't get past it last time, because so much of, like, puzzle games, or this type of game anyway, is having the right cards and having enough different cards that do enough different stuff, and you can get through any of the mechanics. And then every now and again, the developers throw out something that is just pure player skill. I was like, fuck, last time I did it, I did not have the player skill. This time around, however, I cleared the fucking thing and was super, super excited about it. So I was able to get through that, and I got Spider-Man.
For PlayStation, right?
Game Boy. It's it's really good. The photo mode leaves a little. You have to take pictures with your own camera.
It's not even Game Boy camera compatible.
It's not even Game Boy camera. Like, I keep seeing people being like, the photo mode in Spider-Man is amazing. It sucks. It's so bad. No. Yeah, I got the PS4 Spider. I haven't been able to play it all that much because my father-in-law is in town.
And he hates Spider-Man. His name is J. Jonah Jameson.
Yes. Surprisingly enough. It's a weird coincidence. No, it's just, you know, family's in town and we don't get to spend that much time with him. Certainly not up here. So we've been doing a lot of that. But we also picked up the PS4 remaster of L.A. Noire, because he is big into, like, L.A. history. He lived out in Los Angeles for a little while, so, like, we were driving around. You know, we had talked about this years ago when I was playing it with Tiff the first time on the PS3. You know, or maybe, hell, we might not have even talked about it. It was so long ago when we played that game, but we're driving around, and he's like, oh, you're on Alameda. You got to make a right to get over to this thing, because the game is so damn accurate. And it's, I had forgotten how much I loved L.A. Noire, because you know this about me. I don't make it too much of a secret. I really don't like Rockstar games.
Yeah, yeah.
At all. And I know you don't either.
Not particularly.
And L.A. Noire is fantastic. And this updated version just looks so good. The driving is still shit. The animations are still wonky as hell because that's Rockstar. But it looks really good, and the story is still ham-fisted and over the top and ridiculous, and I love everything about it. So we've been playing that more than Spider-Man, but the hour and a half that I've spent with Spider-Man so far has been, well, amazing. Some might even say spectacular. It's really good, Chris.
I have heard really just good. Almost universal good things about it. Lots of early game of the year talks, which, you know,
yeah,
people are coming right back with, but God of War happened.
Yeah.
And Red Dead Redemption's coming out. And, well,
yeah, Red Dead. Well, no. This game is... it feels so good to play this game. Like, if you thought Spider-Man 2 on Xbox was like the Spider-Man game, this just blows that away.
It's finally been supplanted.
It really, really has. The swinging feels so much better. The wall running, like the way you can combo into and out of swings and wall runs, and the combat is not as derivative of the Arkham series as I thought it was going to be. I mean, it is, but it works so well when you're Spidey. Like, the first fight that you have against a bunch of thugs and Kingpin, like in the first 10 minutes of the game, is just incredible. Like, you're bouncing off walls and you're webbing dudes up and you're grabbing stuff, you know, like a big statue and swinging it around and dodging out of the way, and everything feels so like fluid and smooth and easy to do all of this really complicated looking shit. It's just incredible. Just incredible.
It's really like it's the conversation right now in games for the most part. And
it really should be.
I wish I could be a part of it, but I did not get it. I don't have the spare $60 to throw at it, and even if I did, I'm running into exactly the problem I thought I would with the mm-hmm. with the PlayStation 4, is that I just so rarely get a chance to come down here to be by myself and play the thing.
Exactly.
Without sacrificing more sleep than I already do, you know.
Right.
If I could take it to bed with me, that's a, you know, that would be a possibility. But the thing is it's, you know, Horizon is so modern games in general are just so much more immersive, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like I can play Spider-Man or Horizon on mute because I'm going to miss all the voice acting and all the...
Yeah, you're going to... All the cheeky dialogue and...
Yeah,
and
the things you have to listen for, you know?
On. Yeah.
I mean, even in Horizon, it's like, you really got to be paying attention, which, as I said before, I'm not very good at that game, but... So that is a problem I'm still running into with the PS4. I'm hopefully after these next 2 weeks with... we've got a video game con this weekend, and we've got the Pain in the Assathon the following weekend, and hopefully after that I can start kind of dedicating a little more time to just coming down here and playing the darn thing. Because
in 2 weeks Shadow of the Tomb Raider is coming out. It's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even really gonna sniff that one, because I still haven't even played the first of this Tomb Raider reboot series, which
is insanity.
Yeah.
Because those games are so damn good.
And they are.
Everything about this one looks to be just as fantastic. So
I've heard some very good things about it. It's, you know, it feels like I'm having such an interesting year for games, because a lot of the big budget stuff hasn't come to Switch this year. I mean, and the ones that it has been like the few things that I'm not so interested in that I need to just jump immediately on top of, with the exception of Wolfenstein. But I'm playing all these... I'm so satisfied by the indie games that I'm playing this year. Like I said, I've been playing The Messenger, and I'm obsessing with that game. I think about it all day long. Like, I just wish I was home finishing off The Messenger, because I'm at this point in the game where, again, I don't really want to spoil stuff for you. That game is available on PS4, by the way.
It is out now?
It came out, I believe, the same day as the Switch version.
Oh, did it?
And it, I think I read somewhere that the Switch version is outselling it 4-1, and I think I know why. Because people think this is a Switch exclusive.
Yeah, I had no idea. Well, also,
I had no idea. Yeah, well, yeah, the Spider-Man hype, too. But, I mean, this would have been, like, the perfect game to play before Spider-Man came out. You know what I mean?
Well, that was Guacamelee, too.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So this will maybe be... Oh, God, I still have to finish Owlboy, because I love that, but then God of War and...
this one here is...
It's a plethora of riches.
Yeah, exactly. There is a... And I hate to be an Xbox basher, but I tell you, there's just this unbridled tsunami of awesome content, no matter where you are except Xbox.
Yeah, it really does feel that way, and it really does suck. Like, I am still super jealous that Xbox is getting more Cuphead stuff, like, because that stuff looks awesome. Legendary Chalice as a playable character looks really, really cool. And, I mean, there is stuff to be excited about if you, like, Forza, I think, came out, right?
I don't even know.
But, like, Forza is a thing to be excited about, and there are, you know, Tomb Raider is coming out for Xbox, and, you know, I mean, there is stuff to do, but like the exclusives really have been won by Sony and Nintendo this year, and Nintendo's big two exclusives haven't even come out.
Yeah, I mean, Pokemon and Smash Brothers,
and Let's Go Eevee and Smash Brothers aren't even out yet.
Yeah, those games are going to sell boatloads.
Of course they are, and they should.
Yeah, I'm really genuinely excited for that Let's Go game. Like, I every time I show videos around the kids, I'm like, I think they're gonna play this with me. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and even if they don't, you'll love it, and that's fine too.
Yeah, that it seems like a nice little casual romp for me, which I'm good with. Also, I'm hearing, and this is not something that I'm going to buy, but I've been shocked at the reaction to Mario Party. Super Mario Party has been getting a lot of positive feedback at all the cons that people have been playing it at, which I'm genuinely surprised by. Like,
well, those are a bunch of people that you should never talk to again.
The fans of original Mario Party style games are like, oh my God, they made Mario Party good again. And I'm like, well,
no.
All right.
No, they didn't. Did they make it not Mario Party?
Yeah, people really like the old Mario Party games.
Well...
And they're welcome to. You
know. No, they're not. I am normally the person who is defending everybody of, like, let people enjoy pumpkin spice. It's fine if it's September and it's 100 degrees. If they want pumpkin spice, let them have it. Let them enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, nuts. Let people, like, watch shitty TV shows. Let people love Scandal. That show is objectively terrible. I don't even know if it's still on, but Tiff watched all of it when it was on Hulu, and it's objectively awful, but whatever. Enjoy it. Except for Mario Party. That just makes you a bad person.
That's worse. That's... Mario Party or Ready Player One?
Mario Party. That's not even a question. I don't even have to think about that. Yeah.
That's brutal. Because you hated Ready Player One.
Oh, God. I hate it with the very soul of my being. But at least there was at least moments in Ready Player One where I could be like, all right, well, that was cool. You know what I mean? Like the King Kong from Peter Jackson's King Kong, the remake that he did was in it. And like, that's fucking cool. I love Kong. That's fun. Oh, look, there's a Ninja Turtle and Hello Kitty. I mean, the rest of all this is objectively stupid and poorly done. But, you know, stuff. Oh, Freddy Krueger's there. Ooh. Mario Party is still just Mario Party. There's never a moment where I'm like, ooh, Freddy Krueger. And if that happened, Chris, I would be really into that Mario Party. It's like, oh, shit. There's King Kong and Freddy Krueger. I'm into this.
Did not see that coming.
Did not see that coming. Literally. If you gave me a million guesses. Well, I mean,
Donkey Kong and Waluigi are in it. That's basically the same thing.
I mean, yes, but no. I mean, you know. But no, Mario Party, 10 times worse than Ready Player One.
Well, arguably the most important thing that happened in this last week was that the demo for Mega Man 11 came out.
I didn't play it.
I'm kind of shocked.
I don't want to.
All right.
I don't want to because I just want to get that game. I'm sort of trying to chase the experience that I had as a kid of, like, you know, there's a new Mega Man. Like, I saw it at the store. I don't know anything about this, but it's Mega Man.
Did you know it's a new Mega Man?
That's all I know. Like, I watched the first teaser trailer and a little bit of that first, like, stage that they released.
Mm-hmm.
And about halfway through that video, I shut it off and just was like, no, I don't. I just want to go into this with zero expectations, good or bad.
All right.
I just want it to be a new Mega Man game, and I will let my decision, mostly because, Chris, Mighty Number 9 burned me so hard as it burned everybody else so hard. And well, I know that this is a different thing. Like, I get that, but, you know,
let me confirm to you that it is not Mighty Number 9.
All right. Well, that's good.
I mean,
feel free to talk about it. Yeah, tell me that I should be gotta, excited.
I have to talk about it because as soon as I found out this demo existed, I jumped right on the eShop and I downloaded it, and I'm super impressed by it. It is, it's modern Mega Man. It feels like, you know, because we were going on that trajectory for a while there. We had Mega Man 7 on Super Nintendo and then the Mega Man 8 on PlayStation. For as much as I don't love Mega Man 8, and there's a lot I don't like about it,
right,
I liked the fact that it was a modern Mega Man game. You know, they were advancing that series. And then 9 and 10 happened, and they were just like, and here's Mega Man 2 with new stuff in it. And I adore those games. Well, I adore Mega Man 9. I like Mega Man 10. I don't love it. But this
feels so hard.
This is so hard too. Mega Man 11 is freaking hard. but it's a very, very good bang for your buck situation. From what I'm noticing, like the stage that it's just Block Man stage. That is it. It is
okay.
Then that's that first Robot Master they showed off when they first announced the game. It's just his stage and his boss fight, and that is it. Which is the perfect amount of demo. I don't want to play any more of it before the game actually comes out. Just letting me play through one stage, I think, is a really cool idea to get the feel of it. It does feel like a Mega Man game. The sliding is a little strange. The sliding is a little bit more, I'd say, in line with Mega Man 8, where it feels like a little bit stilted. In the original games, 1 through 6, the sliding was very instantaneous and a faster way to traverse. And then in Mega Man,
you slid, as opposed to later Mega Mans where it was like you ducked down and then slid.
Yeah, like Mega Man 7 kind of started that where it was a bit more rigid, but then Mega Man 8, like the actual sliding itself wasn't faster than his walk. And this is kind of like that, where sliding is not quite as smooth. Jumping out of the slide felt a little bit clunky to me as well. I'm not sure if that's necessarily by design, but it is something that I did notice about it. But the actual moving around, running, jumping, all of that feels Mega Man. The level design is super clever. There's, you know, a great mini boss. You fight the mini boss twice. There's a couple of, like, I guess stage puzzle, not really stage puzzle things, like these basically like these giant blades show up behind you. So, like, this instant death wall behind you, and you're on a conveyor belt, and these walls with mazes in them fall down in front of you, and you have to shoot your way through the maze before the screen scrolls to the left and, you know, kills you, kind of a thing.
That's cool.
So that happens a couple of times, and that's just really awesome. Also, the gears, so there's this kind of primary conceit behind the game is this gear system. And one of the gears overclocks your weapons, and one of the gears basically slows down time. I was listening to the Game Explained podcast, and Ash Paulson kind of really hit exactly on the head what I was thinking but couldn't really articulate to myself. And it's that the level design, I thought I was going to hate this gear thing, like with the slowing down time, because it seemed like a cheap maneuver. But
it does. It doesn't seem very Mega Man-y.
But the level design is built around it, so you don't feel like you're cheating by using it. So, like, for example, you're in the stage, and there's this these dudes, like, they look kind of like Sniper Joes, and they're running around in these, like, hamster wheels. And the hamster wheels have one little teeny tiny gap in it where you can shoot through and shoot the bad guys, shoot the little guys inside. Now, you can, you know, take your pot shots at it, which I was doing for a while. My first attempt at beating this stage, I didn't really mess with the gears at all because I just didn't really want to. But eventually I kind of caved when I got to those maze parts where I was like running through and there was this part where I had to loop back and then slide through a hole. And I was like, I bet I need to slow down time for this. And I did, and I was able to get through it. And then on my second playthrough, because I got a game over before I made it to the boss, I realized that that's what those guys are designed for. You're supposed to wait until the little slot gets near the front, slow down time so you can get your bullets in there and take out those guys. And it's like, it's totally doable without it, but the whole thing seems to be built around you using these things.
Right.
So, first off, that's super awesome. Like, that's really good game design.
That does sound very cool.
It's great. The power one, I haven't really gotten a good feel for. I didn't really use the power one more than once or twice, and even then I didn't really feel I was accomplishing anything. I use the slowdown time from every now and then just because it's cool. And it makes certain things go a little bit faster. Like there'll be a these little robots with giant hammers on them that'll like smash at you, and I'll just like slow down time and shoot as fast as I possibly can because it just looks awesome. And then he blows up really fast. So all of that's great. Everything about the stages, the visuals are awesome. The levels look amazing. Well, the level looks amazing. Just the art direction is wonderful. I still hate the way Mega Man walks. Like, his running animation is just wrong. I don't know what it is about it. It's just incorrect. But
yeah,
everything else around Mega Man is wonderful looking. And the boss fight against Block Man was so freaking cool. Because the bosses, I think the story is that the bosses also have access to this gear system.
Okay.
So when you're fighting the bosses, first off, the stage is super long, which is kind of, it's like longer than most other Mega Man stages. And the boss fight is also much more involved. The fight against Block Man seemed to have three distinct phases. The first phase was just like him, you know, jumping and dropping blocks on your head and you're doing your typical Robot Master fight. And if he just did that, it would have been like a Robot Master battle from any of the previous Mega Man games. But after you get him down to a certain amount of health, he goes into the second phase where he overclocks himself and turns into like the size of Kraid from Super Metroid.
Jesus Christ.
So, first off, that's amazing because we've never done that in a Mega Man game before. Like, fought a giant boss like this. So he just, like, comes at you with this giant version of himself that he, like, constructs this huge version of himself out of the blocks that he controls. And after you beat that form, he goes back down to, you know, his regular size. And then he just goes through this, like, similar to Iceman from Mega Man 1, chucking blocks straight at you, kind of the way Iceman does, except it's a lot more frantic, but you can also destroy the blocks with your Buster. And then that's the end of that's the end of the fight. It took me a couple of tries to get it, and I played on the expert mode. Like, it comes with a bunch of different difficulties, even in the demo. And I'm really impressed by it. I played through it a couple of times, which is really saying something because I pulled myself away from the messenger to do it, but it's freaking Mega Man, so of course I did.
Right.
The only other thing that really jumped out at me was the lack of health pickups. There's a lot of just you know, a lot of little floating enemies around the stages.
Sure.
And you'd think that you'd be able to blow those guys up and get yourself some health pickups, but I got very, very few health pickups throughout the course of the stage. Like, I died a couple of times because I ran out of health, which is not something that happens to me a lot in Mega Man games, because usually at least kind of farm some health, but it just, like, no one's dropping anything. And I don't know if that's just a symptom of the difficulty, because I didn't play it on any lower difficulties. I just played through it twice on the hard one, and I just went right back to the Messenger because it's awesome. So,
well, all right then.
Yeah, Mega Man 11, I'm so excited for that game. I can't wait to see what else it has in store, because I've watched they haven't really released a ton of trailers. They're doing the way they're building the hype for it, I think, is really cool. Because they're doing it like, they'll just reveal another Robot Master and reveal another Robot Master, and trying to think about, like, this is totally how they would have done it in the old days had the internet been a thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it's really exciting. Like, it's almost like revealing new characters in a fighting game, or like new Smash Fighters. It's like, who's this other guy going to be? And so far, all the Robot Masters look super interesting. I won't mess around with that for you, because I'm sure that's part of the experience you're trying to recreate of getting the game, being like, who's this asshole?
No idea. I have no idea.
But I'm really impressed by it so far. I was just thrilled when I played through this demo, and had a lot of fun talking to a couple of friends about it, and then I went back to the Messenger, which I love. Buy the Messenger. The Messenger is great.
I am currently looking through the PlayStation Store, and I searched for it, and it did not come up.
I had
which
to
might s- which might be why it's outselling.
On the Switch. Messenger?
Yeah, because it's not here.
That's weird.
Yeah, like I am back to Donut County and Fire Pro Wrestling World, and like both of those games came out a little while ago.
Well, wait a second. Now I'm looking it up online, and it says that it's only on Windows and Switch. Now, why did I read that it's outselling the PlayStation version?
Well, it is.
Well, yeah, technically it is.
I mean,
where
they're
did
not
I
wrong.
Hear that? Or am I thinking of a different game, maybe? I might be thinking of a different game entirely.
Okay.
I could swear that this game...
Yeah, like, I searched for it, and it can't even be pre-ordered yet on the PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm just not even seeing a listing for it
coming
out on PlayStation. I must have been thinking of a different game entirely, and that's going to bother me. Because I could swear I was listening. It was either listening or reading something that said the Messenger was out on PlayStation, and it just wasn't selling as well as the Switch version.
Well, it isn't.
Well, it isn't. I apologize for my ill-informedness.
As I am searching through this, though, I just saw that Burnout Paradise Remastered is on sale for $15.
That's a steal.
That's really going to be hard to pass up. Luckily, somebody has a birthday coming up.
Oh.
Anyway, Chris.
Anyway, let's get down to brass tacks, because we got a lot to talk about.
We do. And we love tacks.
We do love
especially
tacks.
Brass ones.
They're the best kind.
Clearly. Silver tacks, clown shoes.
Child's play. I give them to my children.
I do. I really do. Here, child's play. Play with these.
Enjoy these tacks. Don't get them in your eyes.
And if you do, it won't matter, because they're not brass.
They won't cause permanent damage. So, every year, we here at Geekade do something called the Pain in the Assathon, which is a 24-hour game streaming extravaganza where we play pain in the ass video games to raise money for colon cancer charity. Not charity for colon cancer, because we don't like colon cancer. We want
it
to go away.
Research to eliminate
research
colon cancer.
Prevention, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I've teamed up with the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. They used to be called the Colon Cancer Alliance. Now they've switched it to this other word that I'm terrible at pronouncing for some reason.
Because colorectal, when you're going to say cancer after it, is a very tricky flick of the tongue.
It is. It doesn't flow off the tongue quite as well.
It doesn't.
But you know what? They're a great charity, and they've been very helpful to us. And we have teamed up with them to do this whole thing. And it's kind of, there's some audio that I think we might put into the show later. But the idea is that my wife's dad died of colon cancer before I met her a long time ago. And she had always done these charity events for the colon cancer challenge, like, you know, the walks and the runs and that kind of stuff. But eventually she just couldn't do that stuff anymore. And we had been looking for some sort of charity to do. And I said, well, you know what, we should do something for colon cancer. And so we came up with this pain in the ass idea because, you know, colon cancer, butt jokes.
Because we're cheeky.
Because we're cheeky. Ah,
see what I did there?
That was a good, butt joke and a butt joke right there.
That's right.
And so what we do is we play pain in the ass games for 24 hours. So what Dan and I are going to do, we're going to talk about all the games that we're going to be playing this year, why they're a pain in the ass, and, well, who's going to be playing them, and do we think that we're actually going to accomplish what we're setting out to do? We are going to leave the link in the show notes. We are taking donations now. We're going to be taking donations also at AVGC this weekend. We're going to be taking donations, of course, during the charity stream itself. We found out today that it got, again this year, Stone Age Gamer is going to be a donation matching up to $1,100. The last 2 years they did it for only $1,000, but they've been officially been around for 11 years now, so they're like, let's do $1,100. So I thought that was super cool of them. So we're trying to kick around a few other ideas to give us some more incentives, but we haven't finalized it yet because we're just swamped getting things together for AVGC. But let's get to work here, Dan.
Fuck cancer, give us your money.
Exactly.
Like that, you don't need a lot of incentives for that.
Exactly. This is a great charity.
It's a horrible, wretched, awful disease that has affected. I mean, I can't imagine that there's one person listening that has been like, nope, I have no experience with that. Someone you know, someone you love has suffered, is recovering, has fought, has possibly died to this just bastard of a disease. And there will be a cure for it one day. There absolutely, I fully believe that. And what's really nice about the Colorectal Cancer Alliance and what we do for them and with them is that any money you donate goes to them. We keep zero.
Yes.
You know, tons of other charities and whatever you donate, and they keep money for clerical costs. And dude, I was a telemarketer. My first job, I was a telemarketer, and we ripped people off. Like, I'll just be completely honest about it. Like, when you donate to like police charities and stuff like that, your money's not going to help the cops. It's going to pay for, you know, people's mortgages and whatnot. That's what that stuff is. This, though,
100% right to them. 100%
donations right to them.
Yeah, we keep none of it when we lose everything, including sleep.
We really do. Well, we have, you do. Yeah. I don't.
That's true. Yeah, I'll be there all 24 hours.
I have a family, Chris.
So do I.
I have a family I care about, Chris.
All right, so before I dignify that any further, let's move on to the first game. So, September 22nd, Saturday, September 22nd, at 10 o'clock in the a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be kicking off the event with...
Because you're a bastard.
I am a bastard. With Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Chris, I gotta be honest. I am so much more confident in our ability collectively to finish this game than I was in Comic Zone last year.
Well, yeah, because Comic Zone is, well, Comic Zone.
Yeah, Comic Zone is impossible.
I love that game, but I hate that game.
Unless you're a savant. And we did pretty well at Comic Zone.
We got further
last year
than I ever had before, so I'll give it that. So Dan and I are going to be playing this one.
Yeah.
Me and Dan, as well as Matt Ramo from my co-host from the Waveback podcast, will be joining us as well. It was going to be four of us versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but Dean decided to punk out because he has things to do, like, you know, run the stream.
Ugh.
Ugh. Stupid technical things that so Dean will be there doing all this important behind the scenes stuff instead of playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with us.
Yeah, he's basically going to be our Raphael. Always there, not super important.
Yeah, not super important. That's not to say that Raph the character isn't super important, but if you've ever played Turtles for NES, Raph's kind of the worst.
Oh, without question.
He just kind of twirls his psi around and has no reach. Whatever. So the idea is that we're going to be playing this for, boy, I actually kind of lost my schedule here. We're going to be at this for 2 hours, 3 hours. Mm-hmm. How long did I give us for this?
Two hours, which I think is enough.
Yeah. Theoretically, we should, all right, from 10 a.m. Oh, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. 3 hours.
Oh, is it three?
Yeah, we got 3 hours for this.
Okay. Then yes, we are definitely going to beat this game, Chris.
You think so?
Yes.
Because I think we're going to get some game overs. We're going to have to start this over more than once.
Oh, sure. But, like, the game's, like, 40 minutes long.
Well,
it's not a very long game, Chris.
Well, I will be bringing a backup game. I haven't decided what it is yet, but I don't know, because I don't think Matt's very good at this game.
So how are we going to work this, Chris? Like, well, are we each just going to take a turtle?
I think that might be what we should do. Yeah, okay. I mean, speed runs this thing. No cheats, no death. I got a speed run here at 25 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance that we're going to get... I'm not practicing, you know, just because in the interest of, you know...
That's not fun.
That's not fun. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I just don't know.
No, Chris, we're gonna beat this game. We are going to beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I mean,
I never have, but we're going to do it together.
I'm fairly confident I have, because I'm like looking at the ending now, and I'm like, yeah, I feel like I've been here before, and I feel like once you get past
the Terradome,
it's like you're fighting the Technodrome, which is weird that you're like fighting the Technodrome.
The Technodrome, Jesus Christ! I'm a bad fan. I apologize.
You're tired and or drunk. It's okay.
Yes. Either and or both.
So we've got 3 hours to pour into this thing. I will bring a backup title that might be Comic Zone.
Fuck, do not let it be Comic Zone.
Nah, it'll be Echo.
I'll leave. I mean, that's fine. If you and Matt want to just play Echo the Dolphin together and not get anywhere, just have people watching on stream. Like, the numbers just dwindling rapidly.
People are going to take their donations back.
Fuck you guys.
No, actually, I think I know exactly what I want to do, what I do for our backup game. If we manage to beat Ninja Turtles for NES, our backup game is going to be Back from the Sewers for Game Boy.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we're going to play some Game Boy Ninja Turtles games. That's what's going to be our backup. It's going to be great.
I mean, I was going to suggest Battletoads, but...
Battletoads could be fun.
Fucking hard.
Yeah, Battletoads could be fun. Yeah, let's do Battletoads. That's a better one. Let's do Battletoads. I like it. Wow, look at Evan. Evan's in our notes right now, putting all the times in for us, like a good producer. Wow.
He really is an excellent producer.
I'm so impressed by Evan.
And a handsome man.
And really, really quite dashing. He is rather dashing. So, all right. So, you're saying that Ninja Turtles for NES we're going to beat.
Yes.
Okay. I think that, like you said, we should all take a turtle except for Raf. And I don't know. Do you think we should make Matt go first?
Yes.
Yeah. Get him out of the way.
That sounds so terrible. But yes.
He's going to walk right into one of those steamrollers straight off the bat, you know.
Without question, he has to be Michelangelo. He cannot be Leonardo or Donatello. We need the reach, Chris.
We do. Oh, boy. All right. I don't know. I don't know that we're going to beat this one. I'm going to say that if we do, it's going to be tight. I played Battletoads on the first Pete-a-thon. It was one of our bonus games, like, afterwards, because we raised enough money to throw some extra games out there, and I remember playing Battletoads by myself, and I got pretty far. I think I got up to the snake levels before I really lost it, but...
Right.
So that was a good time. All right, the second game that will be played. This one makes me very happy. The second game is going to be the Sega Genesis version of Altered Beast. And this will be played by our dashing producer, Evan, and Angie Furno, who... Furno? Furnot? Am I saying that right, Evan? I know you're listening. Furnot. There we go. Thank you, Evan. Angie is wonderful. She is the artist behind our Pedathon nurse. So if you see any of our promotional images for this, she does just wonderful artwork, and she drew this awesome badass nurse for all of our advertisements. So the two of them are going to work together to beat the Sega Genesis version of Altered Beast. How do you think they're going to do, Evan?
Well, first of all, I'm not Evan. Jesus, Chris.
You're not?
Second of all, no.
You're right.
All this time. Second of all,
Evan says badly.
There is no way they don't beat this game in an hour through sheer brute force.
Well, that's the thing. This isn't the arcade version. They have a finite number of lives before they have to start over again.
No,
that's why I picked
that.
The Genesis version.
This game's not hard.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
I seem to remember the Genesis version of this being cheap as F, just like the arcade version, except, you know, you gotta learn it a little. Like, not as cheap as the arcade version, which is just like a bottomless pit of
quarter
munching.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, man. I think I feel like an hour. I played Contra with Evan for a long time last year.
I mean, I do. Evan is clearly the handicap.
I have no idea what Angie's skill level is as far
no,
as
and now Evan I have knows. To step in. This okay. is not fair. You're talking about me as if I'm not here, and I am here.
That's fine. You're clearly. I have no idea how good Angie is at this game. You are clearly the handicap in this.
I am, but I think from sheer force of competitiveness, if she has to take the controller out of my hand and work both of them at the same time, she will.
Hopefully people would pay money to see that, because I might.
There is no way you don't beat this game.
See, okay. I have played this game, like, I don't know, a couple of months ago, and it's all about the timing. Like, if you memorize it, you're good.
Yeah.
I don't have any clue as to the timing of this game.
Well, but you'll figure, there's like four stages.
Power up.
Yeah, like, how long is a speed run of the Sega Genesis? 8 minutes?
Now you're starting to hurt my feelings.
This is speed running. This is by, like, people who really know what they're doing.
Okay, but
now that hurt my feelings.
So all right.
Yeah, that was
this
way
is,
worse than what I said.
This
Jesus.
Is a speed run of some of people who have studied this game, and we're talking about like 10 to 15 minutes. To do a straight playthrough, knowing exactly what to expect and knowing how to get past all this.
And out of curiosity, seeing as I have no basis, what would a speed run for like Mario be?
Oh, Super
like
Mario 1 with
one?
Warps? It's like 5 minutes.
That's a way longer
about.
Game.
So you think that they it will take them four times as it won't take them four times as long to blow through this on their first try? I don't know. That's why
even if it,
that's
Chris,
why I gave it an hour because
even
I think
if it
it's
takes
possible.
Them four times as long as a speed run. That's 40 minutes. They still have 20 minutes left over.
All right. So seeing as you two are going back and forth about who's going to win or who's going to lose, I'm going to chime in with this one and say we're not going to win.
Ugh.
I'm going to say that they are going to beat it, but I think it's going to be closer. I think it's going to be close.
I am going to go ahead and guess that Angie is an Altered Beast ringer. She does. The video that you saw of the speed run is Angie, and you better bring two or three backup games.
She got visibly upset when I told her that she could not practice.
All right, so Dan, what do you think the backup game should be? Because part of me wants to say the Game Boy Advance one, but that's not multiplayer.
No.
So another part of me wants to say like the Master System version.
That's just not nice. Well, there's two schools of thought here, Chris. You could go another multiplayer beat 'em up on the Genesis, like Streets of Rage 3,
Golden Axe for the Altered Beast connection.
Or if you want to go for the character alteration thing, you could do Kid Chameleon.
Kid Chameleon. That could be interesting.
Now, there's no way that you finish Kid Chameleon.
No, because at the end of the day, like, really, how much time do you think they're going to have left?
Right.
I mean, even if they go twice as long as a speed run, that only gives them a half an hour left to do something, which is why I wanted to pick something incredibly stupid, like the hideous, chirpy Master System version of Altered Beast. There's got to be an even worse version. I think the NES version of Altered Beast is even worse.
Oh, God, it probably is. No, I would say Golden Axe.
Golden Axe? Yeah, let's do Golden Axe.
Golden Axe is an excellent... Golden Axe or... fuck. Elf Needs Food.
We just Gauntlet? About it.
Yeah, Gauntlet.
Nah, we got to do Golden Axe. Just for the connection. Because they're those games
way more sense,
actually connected.
Yeah. All right.
Side note about that other game that you just said. We were at an arcade...
Kid Chameleon?
No, not Golden Axe. The Elf Needs...
Gauntlet.
Yeah. So there was a Gauntlet 3D arcade unit at this arcade that we went to, and she and I started to play. The graphics were so horrible that I just let go of the controller and walked away. I'm going to say 25 minutes later, I came back and I looked at her and I went, "You're still playing?" She was like, I can't die.
That's how good Angie is at video games.
This is going to be fun.
She's like the fucking Lawnmower Man, but like without all the homicidal tendencies.
Well,
I said without all, not without some. Without a few of the homicidal genocide. Anyway, it's a dope movie. You should all watch The Lawnmower Man if you haven't seen it.
Anyway. Well... So that's going to be happening from 1 to 2 p.m. From 2 to 4 p.m. on September 22nd, the challengers of Dave DiOrio and Sean Hayes from the Whip Around podcast, which are friends of Geekade. Dave is actually one of our writers. He writes about sports and podcasting. He does a thing called Budsworthy, where he talks about other podcasts that might be worth your time. They are going to be tackling... And I suggested this one to them, and I'm really excited about it. Double Dragon 3, the Sacred Stones for NES, from 2 to 4 p.m.
See, now, you hear Double Dragon, and my first thought was, they absolutely finish it. But then, it's Double Dragon 3.
For NES, I say there's no chance
for
they beat
NES,
this game.
I don't know that there's no chance, but I'm not confident because it's weird.
So the thing about Double Dragon 3, the Sacred Stones, is that there are no lives. You get one life and that's it. If you die, game over. That's it. And it's not like if you get
a video game,
if you get beat up a whole lot, like, well, yeah, eventually you'll die, but there's also lots of insta-death in this game. If you walk off a cliff or something, that's it. Game over. Bye.
Game over. And it's really easy to do.
In a couple of places, it's really easy to just be like, well, now I'm dead. I accidentally jumped off the side of this building, and that's the end of that.
And now I'm permadead.
You can get... So the way it works is like, all right, so you do the two players. One of you is Jimmy Lee. The other you is Bimmy Lee. Because this is where the famous misspelling of Billy Lee to Bimmy.
Well, they're so close in the alphabet, Chris.
They are. And also, it's just when this game came out, they tell you what weapon you're using at the bottom. And like your default weapon is bare hands. And a friend of mine when I was a kid thought that the character's name was Billy Bare Hands. Why get to be good old Billy Bare Hands?
That's the second playable character in Adventures of Bayou Billy, right?
Yeah, Bayou Billy and Billy Bare Hands. Oh boy. Jesus. So you can, there's a couple of bosses that you beat in this game, Chin and Ranzu. And when you beat them, you get them as playable characters that effectively act as more lives. So if you die as Billy Bearhands, you get to come back as Ranzu or Chin, who are, Ranzu's awesome because he's just a ninja with a sword and he can run and
he's pretty great.
Do giant jumps and whatnot. Chin is a little weird. He's just like rotund fella that can headbutt you.
He's kind of everything weird. Karnov should have been.
His running animation is hysterical. He does this cute little trot.
I freaking love it. Such a weird game.
Yeah, it's a weird game. It's got some pretty awesome music. It's got some great moves. Mechanically, it's really cool. It's the one life and you're done kind of situation that makes this game obscenely hard. Because it's already difficult to begin with. Like, it's a tough beat-em-up. And it's unforgiving with the lack of any sort of lives. So I'm going to say there's no chance they finish this.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say no shot. But if they do, Chris.
If they do, I pulled your selection from the last one because I think it's perfect.
Streets of Rage 3.
Streets of Rage 3.
That game's fucking dope. And there's a new Streets of Rage coming
out. Oh my god, Streets of Rage 4 from Dotemu and Lizard Cube, the people who did the amazing Wonder Boy remake. Oh my god. So excited.
Focus.
Focus, focus.
We did talk about that last week too, but yes. We'll talk about that. Believe me, we will talk more about
Streets of Rage 4. There will be words said about that. All right, so moving on to 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, September 22nd. Jonathan Fugger, Evan, you're going to need to edit that out. He wants to use his stage
fuck
name.
Fuck up his name every time. Jonathan Fugger. Like, whoa, no, you can't say that, Chris.
No.
Jeez.
Jonathan Robert from the Mutant Mutings.
All right, strike this whole thing. Come on, Willy Wonka. Strike it, reverse it.
So, from 4 to 6 p.m., on September 22nd, Jonathan Robert from the Mutant Musings podcast with a heckler co-host Patty on the side will be playing Mega Man for Game Gear.
Oof.
He's got 2 hours to blow through the game from 4 to 6 p.m.
I don't know, man.
It's going to be tight if he can do it at all. Because the thing about Mega Man for Game Gear is that At first glance, you're like, well, this ain't so bad. The music is like running a cheese grater over your ears, but this looks and feels pretty okay. You can only do 2 shots on the screen at once instead of 3. That's a little weird. The thing that breaks this game, like just absolutely breaks it, is that they didn't, I think it reuses actual stages from Mega Man 5 for NES, but it didn't resize them for the screen. So it's zoomed in closer. You've got no draw distance. So there's a lot of blind leaps in this game. And just, well, there, I can't see any platforms. I'm just going to hope that there's one there. Oh, there was, but it wasn't where I thought it was.
But no, it wasn't where it would logically be.
And now I'm dead. So, yeah, Jonathan, he's a Mega Man connoisseur, as it were. The first year he wound up playing through Mega Man 1 from Mega Man the Wily Wars for Genesis, which was weird. Because that game's weird. And then last year he played... What was that one he played? Mega Man... It's not Mega Man Unlimited. It was some homebrew Mega Man game.
Yeah, one of the other ones that's super tough, but really awesome.
Yeah, and it was really cool watching him play through it, but he didn't finish it because it was absurdly hard. And this year he wanted to do another Mega Man game, and I suggested this one, and he jumped right on it. So... I don't know. I'm going to say that he's going to be able to do this because I don't really know for sure how long this game is. I think it's shorter than a regular NES Mega Man game. Let's see.
I'm going to say no because the game itself is just unfair.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at a standard long play that's only 40 minutes long. I mean, it looks like this game can be beaten in 30 to 40 minutes. So as long as he doesn't screw up too much, because it is pretty unfair, but if he does manage to just, like, tear through it. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say, yeah, he's going to beat this game.
All right. Well, this is the first one where we are in disagreement, Chris.
Oh,
are we,
I don't
like, know. Are we taking bets on these?
I don't know. But wager? As far as the backup goes, I know what he would want. What do you think should be the backup for this?
Street Fighter Cross Mega Man.
That's a good one. Jonathan had expressed a lot of interest in playing some Mega Man Soccer.
Really?
Yeah. I think that would be pretty fun.
I think that would be pretty fun.
Mega Man Soccer it is.
Mega Man Soccer it is.
So if he winds up beating Mega Man for Game Gear in the allotted time, and there's anything left over, he'll be playing a little Mega Man Soccer. Which, if you've never seen Mega Man Soccer before, it's freaking bananas.
It's absurd.
I love that this game exists.
It's absurd.
It is absurd in the best possible way. Okay, and then we hit prime time. 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Mm.
Because I did not want to start this at or after midnight again. For the last 2 years of the pain in the ass-a-thon, I have been attempting to work my way through the unholy Triforce. That is the three Philips CD-i Zelda games. I have successfully completed Link Faces of Evil and Zelda Wand of Gamelon, which means only one more Philips CD-i Zelda game exists, and I have saved the absolute worst for last.
Oh boy, have you.
This game is putrid. And, see, the games that we've talked about so far, Ninja Turtles, Altered Beast, Double Dragon 3, Mega Man for Game Gear, these games aren't necessarily bad. There are bad things about them that make them kind of a pain in the ass, but they aren't intrinsically awful games. And I'll even stand up for Ninja Turtles for NES. I think there's good in that game. Zelda's Adventure is a pain in the ass, not only because it is so horribly flawed just from the ground up, but it is an actual pain in the ass to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a, thanks to Dean and his dad, I have a an adapter for my CD-i that lets me use Super Nintendo controllers. So I don't have to actually use the CD-i one-handed wand abomination that I have to play these games. But even with the Super NES controller, so Zelda, the other two CD-i Zelda games, the ones that are, you know, I guess not popular, but more well-known, they're side-scrollers, kind of like Zelda 2. This one is a top-down situation, like mm-hmm. The good Zelda games. Not that Zelda 2 isn't a good Zelda game, it's a great Zelda game, but I digress. More traditional Zelda, top-down. Sure. You play as Zelda, not as Link. You play as Princess Zelda wearing some just really, let's say, cheap cosplay blue dress.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a stick of some sort. And when I say a stick, I don't mean like a bow staff or like a magical rod of justice.
No, like a stick.
It's just like a twig. And
you happen to find, you're like, oh, fuck, I'm going to go on an adventure. I forgot my sword. Shit.
And stick. Just start thwacking things with it.
Yeah.
The biggest pain in the ass, though, I think, is the fact that this game has just some of the most unreasonable load times between every screen.
Which is why you had to budget 4 hours.
Now, I'm looking at
the game itself is 7 minutes and 38 seconds. The other 4 hours is load time.
There are some speed runs. I'm looking at a speed run right now that's it's under 2 hours. There's just no chance I'm going to get this done in under 2 hours.
No. Because, I am not confident you're going to get this one done, Chris.
Oh, I'm confident. I'm not going to figure it out from scratch. I am going to use a guide like I did for the other games.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't want to leave room for error, you know what I mean? Like, playing it itself is one thing, but like, I don't want to try to spend time solving the puzzles in this game because it takes so long to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, it's not the most intuitively set up game, if you can imagine.
Yeah, no.
It could not be.
So. It's just, wow. If you just look at this now, it uses the You know, whereas Wand of Gamelon and Faces of Evil have this very like animated cartoony thing. This goes live action.
Yeah.
So, just delicious.
There's just so much wrong with this.
Yeah, this is a bad, bad game, but I want to have it behind me because I want to be able to say, not only do I own all three Zelda CDI games, but I've beaten them.
And there is video proof.
There's video evidence of me having done it. So yeah, I'm going to give myself the benefit of the doubt and I'm going to say I'm going to finish this game.
I am torn because I definitely think you can finish it. I honestly don't know if 4 hours is enough time. I also don't know that anyone should spend any more than 4 hours attempting to finish this game.
Yeah, because I might just lose my mind.
You very well might.
So,
all right. No, you're gonna finish it. I'm firmly gonna say that you're gonna finish.
All right. Well, thanks for the vote of confidence.
Yeah.
What should my backup be? Let's say things go extraordinarily well, and I beat it in 3 hours.
Mario's Castle.
Hotel Mario.
Hotel Mario. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess I could play that.
I mean, you might as well get just the
I'll have awful. The CDI there and I'll bring the game. Boy, I hope I take a long time with Zelda because I don't want to play that game for like more than an hour.
I will get my kids to animate some Metroid bullshit and it'll be just as good as any CDI Metroid could have been. The funny thing is, they don't know shit about programming, so it's going to be impossible to play, but it'll be just as good.
Yeah, all right. So Hotel Mario it is. If I finish Zelda's Adventure, I'll make a strong play towards getting as far into Hotel Mario as I possibly can. Crazy racist cutscenes and all.
Game's so problematic.
Hope he brought some pasta, Luigi. All right.
People don't talk like that. They just don't.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the remaining games on the Pain in the Ass-a-thon and whether or not Dean will survive the night, because I'm guessing he's not.
No.
You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around.
And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
Geekade and the Stone Age Gamer Podcast are going to AVGC. That's right, A Video Game Con 2018 is just around the corner, and we're going to be there with streaming events, a new Stone Age showdown, and more. Come by our booth outside the Combat Network area for some swag, a chance to compete in the first Waveback chiptune trivia, learn about the Stone Age Gamer podcast panel where we'll be determining the best Sega mascot character that isn't Sonic the Hedgehog, and much, much more. AVGC will be taking place at the Meadowlands Expo Center in Secaucus, New Jersey on September 15th and 16th. We'll see you there.
Geekade's annual Pain in the Ass-a-thon is back, and this year is going to be our biggest pain in the ass yet. Geekade personalities from the Stone Age Gamer Podcast, Vest and Friends, Mutant Musings, You Shall Not Pass Go, Nonstop Comic Shop, Waveback, and more will be gathering together to play Pain in the Ass video games for 24 straight hours to raise money for the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. With games like Bubsy 2 for Super NES, Silver Surfer for the NES, Mega Man for Game Gear, and Zelda's Adventure for CDI on the docket, there's going to be some serious pain to be had. Watch us suffer through some pain-in-the-ass games for the benefit of asses all over the world. September 22nd and 23rd, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitch.tv/Geekade.
We are back.
Guess who's back?
Dan is back.
Back again. JD's back. Hello, friend. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? So there's a new Eminem record that came out. It's pretty good.
Is it? I've heard mixed reviews.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm not much of a judge.
You're not into the hippity hop. as it were, Chris.
Not so much. I have been listening to the Messenger soundtrack almost nonstop, though.
Is that a hip-hop soundtrack?
Or... No.
No.
That's just what I've been listening to. That and on almost... As often as I can fit it into my ears, Banjo Guy Ollie did a cover of a Lemmings tune, and it's always been one of my favorites. And I could not believe he did it, and he knocked it out of the freaking park. It's so good.
Of course he did.
So good.
I mean, and see, I was just about to ask you where you come down on the age old Nas and Jay-Z debate, but
I could not pick either of them out of a lineup.
Perhaps we might have to have our listeners chime in, Jay-Z or Nas.
You heard the man.
I gotta go with Nas, man. Just better. I mean, I love Jay-Z.
How do you spell that?
N-A-S?
N-A-S?
Yeah.
All right.
I wasn't sure if that was a serious question. Do you not, like, really? I mean, you live in the world, Chris.
I just told you I've been listening to the Messenger soundtrack.
I mean, sure.
I'm not sure what world you think I live in.
Really? If I ruled the world? Nomadic? Anyway, whatever. Okay.
Sorry.
Fine.
I got nothing. So back to the pain in the ass-a-thon. Finishing off day one, the first day of the Pain in the Ass-a-thon, September 22nd, we're going 10 p.m. to midnight. Dave Marconi and Genghis Kuyas from the You Shall Not Pass Go podcast will be playing Until Dawn Rush of Blood VR for PS4.
Which is an excellent choice. That game is scary as fuck. There's no reason anybody should be playing that at midnight. We're all adults. We don't have to do this shit anymore.
I will have just come off of playing 4 hours of one of the worst games in history, and then I'm gonna get to watch them play in VR. I'm excited for this one. Dave said something about what made it a pain in the ass, and what he sold me on was like something about like the aiming itself is kind of really hard to pull off. But it's
an on-rail shooter in VR.
Yeah, it's so damn terrifying that
it really is.
It's hard to get through. So I'm stoked. As long as I can stay awake for it.
They'll finish it. I think they'll finish it.
It's 2 hours. I think they'll finish it. The question is, what do we make them do after it?
Super hot VR.
I don't know what that is.
1,000-foot robot golf?
Sure. Sold.
Okay. 1,000-foot robot golf.
1,000-foot robot? That's a thing?
Yeah, it's a VR. See, they really bury the lead on this one. In this game, you're a 1,000-foot tall robot, and you play golf in a city.
Like regular size golf? So you're a 1,000-foot tall robot, and you have to hold a tiny golf club?
And play yeah, you have to bend down real low. Their backs are shot. Terrible.
I just designed an amazing game.
1,000-foot robot golf.
Seriously. Did you look at the trailer for Untitled Goose Game yet?
Yes. God, I'm really,
damn, I want
really
that game.
Excited about that game. You are a horrible goose. Yeah, I'm into that. Just the idea, like I had a bad day at work or something, I could just come home, fuck with people. Walk around.
I'm going to eat fucker. This guy's hat. I'm going to press the honk button.
Oh, God. In Spider-Man, there's a finger guns button as you're walking around on the street. So you just walk around and you're like, hey, it's fucking awesome. So good.
That's wonderful. Anyway, even if I never get around to playing it, I'm just glad that game exists.
Oh, I'm so happy with it. All right. So
Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, we're both giving them the go-ahead. We both think that they're going to win, and then they're going to play Thousand Foot Robot.
Yes.
Which is somehow less absurd than Ninja Golf for Atari 7800.
It really is. It really is.
Ninja Golf's amazing. All right, so...
after that, you're back up, Chris.
Well, everyone's back up. Everybody who's still awake from 12 a.m. to 2 a.m., kicking off day two of the Pain in the Ass-a-thon. Everyone who's still awake and able to hold a controller is going to be playing Overcooked 2 for Nintendo Switch.
Not a chance this game gets finished.
Well, God, no. There's no way to finish it in 2 hours. This is kind of like a super fun reprieve, because this game is intentionally designed to be a pain in the ass.
Right.
Like, it's hard. It's awkward on purpose because it is designed around chaos.
See, but you stepped on my joke, though, because I didn't even get to say there's no way this game can be finished, because if everyone who's still awake is playing it, there's going to be too many cooks in the kitchen. See where I was going with that?
I do. I was impressed. You always left me satisfied and smiling.
Well, that's what I'm known for. This will be a blast, especially if there are some relatively tired folks playing this game, because it is a pain in the ass. You're right. It is awkward and chaotic and silly and fun.
And the second one is more chaotic than the first one. The second one is just friggin' nuts.
But it is the perfect palate cleanser, Chris, to get us ready for the 2 a.m. hour.
Yeah, the 2 a.m. hour.
The sub-witching hour.
This is where we start getting
real.
Yeah, shit gets real from here on out, I think. Especially since this is where Dean's going to start getting involved. I mean, he might jump in for some Overcooked. I feel like I'm really taking some hard hits on this because I'm going to be awake for a long time. And I don't know where Dean's going to be on all this. But the first game that Dean is actively going to be playing, starting at 2 a.m., he asked me for a shooter. So he wants to play like some sort of like retro shooter style game, like R-Type or whatever. And
instead of being fun and giving him Ikaruga, because God damn it, do I want to see Dean play that game for 2 hours.
He told me to pick, and my original pick was Ikaruga. And then I switched over to Fantasy Zone, because I remembered the old episode of Retro Game Challenge.
Uh-huh.
Where he was playing this game for hours and hours, just getting really upset with it. Because, wow, Fantasy Zone. I love Fantasy Zone to death. I think that game's amazing.
And I do, too.
It's such a bait and switch. Because you turn it on, and it's like bright and colorful, and it's super. It's like you walked into Toontown from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's just like, oh, this is great. This is so cute and wonderful, and the music's cheery and peppy, and I'm already dead. What happened?
The game is a fucking nightmare.
It is so brutal. It's so brutally hard, and it's really great. It's like, this is a wonderful game. It's a classic for a reason, and I picked the arcade version because it just looks and sounds incredible.
I
don't want to listen to 2 hours of the Master System version because the music is just like, wow. Well,
you could have done the TurboGrafx-16 version. The music's better in that.
Yeah, but it's basically the same thing as the arcade version. Yeah, the TG-16 one is an almost perfect arcade port. So at that point, let's just run the arcade version and call it a day.
Because we own the arcade machine.
We do.
That will be brought to the streaming site and then patched into the
stream. No, we own a copy of Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 4, where this is an unlockable title, and we'll play it there.
Was it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was a Sonic game. I didn't.
Dude, Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection is such an absurdly good collection of like.
Is it really?
Because it's not just Genesis games. You can unlock the arcade version of Fantasy Zone, Altered Beast. I think friggin' Space Harrier's in there. Like, there's just a lot of great content on that thing. It's a huge, huge collection. And they just slapped Sonic's name on the front because the Sonic games are in it too. But it's all Genesis games. It's just this huge, wonderful Genesis collection. But yeah, the arcade version of Fantasy Zone is in that. And so that's what Dean's going to be playing. And like we said, it's a complete pain in the ass. If you've never played it before, it's a scrolling shooter, kind of like R-Type, except you can control which direction the screen is scrolling. You know, like you're always kind of moving forward, so there's this very slow scroll going on. But the world itself loops, and there's these bases all over the place that look like... This took me forever to figure out when I was a kid, because they make a sound, like the universal sound for you're not doing damage.
Right.
You know, it's like a little dink. So you hit it with the bullets and it sounds like you're not doing any damage, but you are. You have to keep shooting all these bases. And once you've beaten all the bases, then the boss shows up and you have to shoot the boss. So this little tiny ship called the Opa Opa. And if you go down to the ground, you can sprout legs and walk. You can collect a lot of money and buy yourself some weapons that rarely last long enough for you to actually do any damage with them. And this game is so hard.
There is... Absolutely. This is the one that I am the most sure of. There is no shot.
Yeah,
that
I'm,
Dean beats this game.
I'm with you. As much as I am confident in Dean's abilities, I don't think he's beaten this. I just don't think it's going to happen.
No.
No chance.
From 2 to 4 in the morning, knowing what he has coming up, there is no way.
Yeah.
Just no way.
But just in case... The backup for this one is going to be Fantasy Zone 2.
Of course. Dude, no, it really should be Ikaruga. Cause
it should be, yeah, Ikaruga.
That game is... I can hear Dean screaming.
Because I don't know that he's played that before. Because I know he hadn't played Fantasy Zone. He tried it out real quick just to see what it was. And he was like, oh, this is really cute. What have you done to me? He was like, what am I even doing this game? What am I supposed to be doing right now?
And if you can't figure out Fantasy Zone, Ikaruga with the ship flipping and the absorbing bullets and just all of that.
Ikaruga is so delightful.
Actually, no. Fantasy Zone 2, because Dean is playing Ikaruga next year.
Yeah, true. That's a good call. Yeah. You know what? Ikaruga can be my backup for my next game.
Okay. Now, the next game on the list, from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Jordan
Hazelwood, host of the Nonstop Comic Shop podcast.
I feel like he picked this game because he's going to beat it.
Oh, God, no. No,
really?
Okay. No. So, Jordan, he kind of misunderstood what to pick. He thought he had to have the game himself. I guess not realizing that I have a lot of games. I was like, no.
I guess not realizing that you have a computer.
He's like, no. You pick anything. It's got to be hard. Like, first he picked like the second Toe Jam and Earl game because he hates it. And I'm like, you're not here to hate play games that other people like. Like, you're not here to play games because they're bad. The point is to play something that's a pain in the ass, either because it's so bad it's hard to play, or because it's just really difficult, which is kind of what we're going for here, is the difficulty. And then Jordan was like, oh, well, in that case, I want to try Silver Surfer for NES.
He said try as in he's never played?
I don't know if he's played it before. He did say try.
No, not a chance.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening.
Not a chance.
No one
has beaten that game.
He's got 2 hours to try to beat that game.
Nope. You can give him 2 fucking weeks. I don't give a shit. That game is fucking impressive.
It's entirely possible that he is a ringer of some sorts, and he's just going to blast through this game, and I'm going to be looking at him like, you fucking asshole. But I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty sure, because he doesn't have the game, and I don't think he has any like emulators or anything running. I told him not to practice it. I told him to come in dry. So
it doesn't matter if you practice that game. Silver Surfer is the equivalent of opening your front door to leave to go to work or school in the morning, and just a big mean man punching you in the fucking face every morning. And even though you know it's going to happen, there's nothing you can do. There's just nothing, because you have to leave. You have to go to work. You have to go to school. And if you don't leave, he comes into your house and has sex with your wife. Game. Fucking. God damn it, that game.
In case you don't know, Silver Surfer is a scrolling shooter in the same vein of something like R-Type, but just everything is insta-death from all angles. You are in awkward shape because you're Silver Surfer, and like walls,
there's a lot of you to hit.
Wind, just anything. You constantly fall off your board and die.
You turn on the game and you die. That's what happens. You hit start and he falls off his board and they're like, ah, get used to this shit. We're just prepping you with that one.
So brutal. It's so brutal.
It's so, legit, like, all joking aside, it is legit, like, it may be the hardest game ever made.
It is, it's brutal. It's nonsensically hard.
It is not a game that you can go into like, oh, it's a Silver Surfer game. This will be fun. Like, because it's not fun.
And really, not much about Silver Surfer is fun. Like, when you get right down to the character of Silver Surfer.
I disagree. Dan Slott's run was magical. Where they just basically made him the doctor?
Well, yeah. That was I'm thinking more amazing. Like, remember that old Fox cartoon?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was not fun.
Mm-mm.
That was really dire.
Nope.
It was weird.
This game makes the Fox cartoon look like Citizen fucking Kane.
The backup for this one, just because I'm a bastard, is if by some strange coincidence he happens to finish this game and have some time left, I'm throwing X-Men for NES at him.
Oh, God.
I can't even explain X-Men for NES.
We do like Jordan, right? We do. Because now I'm not so sure. I mean, I thought yes, we did.
We like Jordan. Hey, he put X-Men for NES was like his backup. It was like, should I do Silver Surfer or X-Men? I'm like, do Silver Surfer, you sick bastard.
I don't know that Jordan likes Jordan.
Yeah.
We may need to have a talk after the stream.
Yeah, that's going to be a brutal couple hours right there. That's going to be tough. And
at 4 a.m.
This is somebody who clearly cares a lot about colon cancer, who's willing to play Silver Surfer at 4 o'clock in the goddamn morning.
Good God damn it.
Jordan right there, MVP of the week.
Yeah, for real. Godspeed.
So
you shiny diamond.
6 a.m. to 8 a.m. I will be taking the stage once again. To play Odama for the GameCube.
It's the presidential simulator, right? You go in and undo everything Trump has done.
Yeah.
Where you actually give Flint clean water and Puerto Rico power instead of paper towels.
Hey,
sorry, I'm just really angry.
Yeah, I hear you.
I am comically angry.
So, Odama... For GameCube.
Oh, Odama. Got it.
Odama for GameCube is, wow. All right. Have you ever played Seaman for Dreamcast?
No. This is the one where you just shout at pinballs?
Yeah, sort of. All right, so this is the,
Fucking hit him!
Odama comes to us from the creator of Seaman for Dreamcast and Aeroporter for 3DS, the baggage claim simulator. Odama is quite possibly stranger than even Seaman.
Yeah.
Odama is a voice-controlled military strategy, a feudal Japan military strategy pinball game.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this stage, and you've got these two dudes holding a bell in the middle of this giant battlefield where there's just troops running all over the place. And you've got to protect these two guys with the bell by rallying your troops and saying, "Yo, attack, attack," and then tell the guys with the bell, "Move forward, move forward." You got the GameCube microphone while you're yelling all this stuff. Now, I haven't played this game in years. I played it when it came. I played it the year it came out at E3, and then I bought it when it came out and played it for like a half an hour because this game is freaking impossible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So while you're controlling these guys with your voice and you're yelling at the game and you're trying to make these guys safe going from point A to point B, you also have to play with the Odama, which is a giant ball, and you control flippers for some reason. So now, like, imagine tiny people actually existing on a pinball table. That's kind of what this is like. So the people themselves are theoretically normal size, like according to the background. And then there's, but they're also in this place that's like a giant pinball table. So when you shoot the giant Odama, which is the pinball, into a crowd of people, what you would expect to happen if a gigantic 40-foot steel ball flew into a crowd of people happens. Bodies go flying everywhere. There's screams and terror because there's this giant ball happening. This game is so freaking bananas, and it is a pain in the ass to play because you have to pay attention to basically two entirely separate games at the same time. It's
Which
nuts.
Is not fair.
It's not fair. It is fun. And I mean, I fell absolutely in love with the sheer absurdity of this game. And this was once this game came out, officially solidified. Sorry, I'm tired. Ugh. Officially solidified that I will always buy a game with Youth Saito's name on it.
Yeah.
Like, I was sold at Seaman, but after Odama, I was like, I don't care what insanity is involved, I am buying his shit. And I bought and enjoyed Aeroporter, too. Aeroporter is a fun-ass game.
I mean, sure. Sure.
It's like a puzzle game. It's about airplane baggage. So, I have 2 hours to do this. 6 to 8 a.m. Do you think I can do it?
Oh, man. I'm not sure. Like, I am confident in your abilities. But, at that, depending on... Will you have slept?
I don't think so. Maybe an hour or two.
No.
I might try to catch a nap while Jordan is cursing the darkness with a Silver Surfer.
Then no.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know how long it takes to actually beat this game. I'm looking
for that's the other thing. Like how much content is in this game?
I'm looking for a video of a full playthrough. Oh, my God. Online?
Oh, that is riveting podcasting, Chris.
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
not
it
even
looks
10
like,
o'clock
I'm,
yet.
I see...
Or it's 10:01, I'm sorry.
This one video that's stage 11, and the video is like 11 minutes long. So I don't know if it's like... I don't know how many stages. I have no idea how long it takes to beat Odama.
I mean, it's certainly possible that you could do it. I
don't think I'm going to be able to do it. I don't think so. Let's see.
I honestly don't know.
HowLongToBeat.com does not have Odama.
Then I'm going to go with no.
Yeah. I'm going to go with no as well. I'm going to try. I'm going to try like hell. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Odama is going to best me.
Yeah.
But damn it, I'm going to try.
And that's what matters, Chris.
And if I happen to beat it in that period of time, and there's extra time, I will play Ikaruga for GameCube.
That game's so...
Yeah, it is.
Not a pain in... Be a pain in the ass for D, not for it.
Oh, it's a pain in the ass for me. I am not good at that game.
I was really good at that game for a little while. Me and my buddy Tony... our zone Tony, who you remember.
I remember him, yeah.
Yeah, we got really good at that game and then didn't play it for like 10 minutes and then we're all of a sudden really bad at that game again.
It's like you got to be freaking precise with that game.
You really do. It's so good, though.
All right, last game. Dan, would you like to do the honors?
From 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., Dean... from the Vest and Friends podcast, we'll be playing, since he finally conquered his nemesis last time around, since he finally conquered Bubsy, Dean will be playing Bubsy 2 for the SNES.
Damn right.
What could possibly go wrong?
Dean's never going to escape Bubsy, because I have all the Bubsies.
That's right, and they keep making them.
For some reason.
there keeps happening to be more of them.
If he happens to beat Bubsy 2 this year, we're going to throw the Game Boy version of Bubsy 2 at him.
Yep.
Or maybe we'll throw Bubsy and Fractured Furry Tales for Atari Jaguar his way. or Bubsy 3D, or even the new Bubsy the Wooly Strike Back for PlayStation 4, which I own.
Each one of them worse than the next.
Yeah.
Because they're all Bubsy games. And that's, look,
the only one Bubsy game. Yeah, there's the only one Bubsy game that has redeemable qualities is the first one. And that's the one he's already done with.
Mm-hmm. And it took him 3 years.
Yeah, the first two... I mean, it was after the last one when he went and did his own stream and stayed up for just a ludicrous amount of hours, finally beating the damn thing.
Yeah, yeah, it was goofy. It was long it took. There's no way he beats this.
Yeah, Bubsy 2 is a piece of trash.
Yeah,
Bubsy 2 is just it takes everything Bubsy 1 did and removes all the polish.
Yep.
It's just a turd, and that's what makes it a pain in the ass. Is because Dean has a personal vendetta against Bubsy,
mm-hmm.
and
Bubsy's already in his head.
He is. I don't know if he's. I hope he's not practicing for this.
I hope he is.
I hope he goes in dry.
It doesn't matter.
It's a good point. I mean, if he does master it, it's entirely possible he could come in and do it. But I don't think.
Dude, it took him 3 years. 3 fucking years. And you know, look, we all love Dean. But Dean can be obsessive at times. And he obsessed about Bubsy. It consumed.
It did.
Dean. Dean became Bubsy. Like in fucking Craven's Last Hunt, when you must consume the spider to become the spider, Dean was out there fucking eating bobcats or whatever the fuck Bubsy is.
He was just eating Bubsy cartridges.
Just trying to gain the strength.
Yeah. Fucking we would get a white t-shirt with an exclamation point on it.
Every time we would see Dean, he was always walking around with a ball of yarn. Like, what the fuck are you doing, Dean? He'd be like, you know. Be like, oh, I guess so. All right.
Like, hey, Dean, more like a bridge too short. What?
Huh? That doesn't even, it's not even applicable in this situation. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, are you still playing this thing? Just a constant Bubsy one-liners.
Oh, and this one's so much worse.
It is. This game is so much worse. It's a real pain in the ass because much like the first Bubsy, it's easy to get lost in the stages.
It's easy to get lost. There's fucking blind jumps that don't make any sense.
Yeah, it's the level design is just terrible in this game.
And it controls worse than the first one.
Yep.
It was like a quick cash grab on the Bubsy hype
the non-existent Bubsy hype.
Not existed for some reason. Dude, Bubsy was popular enough. I don't know if I told this on the podcast before, but we can end with this quick little story about Bubsy. When I was young and stupid, I went to buy a copy of the first Bubsy. Right? You hear that? I almost said a copsy of the first Bubsy, mm-hmm. but I didn't. So I went to a Walmart to buy a copy of Bubsy. And it was shrink wrapped and all that. And when I got home, I was so excited to play Bubsy because it looked awesome when you were a kid. Like, oh, it's a new platformer.
It sure did.
It looks
great. I bought
it
too.
He's got attitude. Like, I'm into it. And I opened it up, like, ran upstairs to my bedroom, ready to fire up my Super Nintendo. Fuck, I can't wait to play Bubsy. Tore off the shrink wrap, opened it up, and inside, two packages of playing.
What?
Because somebody had figured out that two packages of playing cards weighed about the same amount as a Super NES card.
Wow, that is messed up.
And I was crushed. And to give you an idea of how popular Bubsy was, when I went downstairs to tell my mother, Mom, you have to go back to the store, some Jagoff did this. We went back to the store. They did not have any more copies.
Wow.
It was sold out. I got the last copy, Bubsy, because it was that popular, and I was crushed. Crushed I was, Chris. I don't even remember what game I got instead. Probably got some dumb shit like ActRaiser. It was like, I still don't know how to play this game. What the fuck is going on? But yeah, I mean, this game, it was popular, and Bubsy 2 was a cash grab because they knew they had made shit, and somehow people fell for it.
I'm so excited. Well, I was stoked on Bubsy 1 myself. Played it at my cousin's house. We got our copy from Electronics Boutique. I was just so into it. And I still rather enjoy the first game for what it is. There's a lot I like about the original Bubsy. Bubsy 2, when it came out, I remember being pretty excited about. And I rented it and was immediately turned off by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just right out of the gate. Wow, this is trash.
Yeah, it's a steaming pile of garbage.
Because the thing about the first Bubsy, presentation-wise, it is relatively polished. Mm-hmm. It looks and sounds great. Yeah. Bubsy 2, the second you start it up, it's just cheap. It's like, wow, this is syndicated Saturday morning cartoons right here. This is like the same 6 frames of animation. This is garbage.
This is what it's like when adults' dreams die.
Yeah. This is
bad. Right here.
All right. Well, the backup game I am decreeing now, if he does finish Bubsy 2 for Super NES, I'm making him play Bubsy 2 for Game Boy.
And Dean was never heard from again.
Because that right there is the perfect torturous follow-up.
It really
it's
is.
Like, all right, start the game over, but worse.
But worse. But green.
No color. Oh my god.
This is wonderful, wonderful lineup this year.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. This is gonna be a blast.
Yeah.
So let's see. There's a couple more things to mention about this. Number one, we are gonna have bonus games for hitting our dollar amount. So if we do hit if we hit our goals, we're going to play some more games after Bubsy 2. We haven't decided exactly what all those are yet, but that's the plan. There's also going to be some bonus goals during the games themselves. Like, for example, if we hit a certain dollar amount, I'll unplug the Super Nintendo adapter and play Zelda CDI with the goddamn CDI controller.
Oh. Wow, that's a bad idea.
So we're going to come up with certain stretch goals like that. So if we hit certain things, like in the first game for Ninja Turtles, if we hit a certain goal, we can only play with Raphael or something like that.
Oh, you know Jesus what I mean?
Like
Christ.
We're just going to further handicap ourselves and make things even more of a pain in the ass. Or we have to play with the NES Max or something.
Oh my goodness. If we hit our total donation goal, everybody who's still there should play Silver Surfer.
Oh my god. Yeah, well,
because we'll take turns. I will not be there still. So I won't have to. I've played my fair share of Silver Surfer. I keep going back to it. I keep going like, nope, this will be the time. This will be the time that I get it. And no, it never has been the time.
We're also going to have ourselves a swear jar. Because the idea for this for the Pedathon this year is to keep it PG-13, so if anyone wants to watch it like with their kids or whatever, so we're gonna have a swear jar there. So if we say something, some foul words, or even if we go into the territory of just unsavory conversation, if you go over PG-13, you gotta put some money in the swear jar.
So okay, does that mean I get one fuck?
If you bring a buck.
No, I think in PG-13 you can have one fuck.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I'm going to say
in the interest of charity, you should still bring a dollar, you bastard.
I mean, sure. I will, but I'm rich. It's fine.
Bringing in all that dough. So there you have it. That's the rundown for this year's Pain in the Assathon, September 22nd through 23rd, 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. at least, at twitch.tv/geekade. Should be a few other surprises in there. There's going to be some video submissions introducing some of the games. We've got a couple of our YouTube-related friends putting some things together. There might be a little guest appearance from Ferg. We might have a little video from So, some other people. We'll leave it as a surprise. I don't want to promote anything, and then they can't actually pan out. But we do have some people working alongside with us. Hopefully, we can get the word out and really get this raise some money. We were shy of our goal of $3,000 last year. I'd really like to hit that this year. The initial goal was $2,000. I really wanted to hit $3,000. We came close. I think we hit $2,600, $2,700, mm-hmm. I think, by the end of it. But I'd like to see if we can get up to $3,000 this year. That's my personal stretch goal. So if you got anything to donate, anything, any and all donations will be super appreciated. We do really believe in this cause, which is one of the reasons we're doing it. And we're all going to need some sleep afterwards.
Yeah. And for real, like, I sometimes get that way too with donations where I'm like, I give like $5, but does that really make a difference? It does. It really does. Like, give a buck, give a nickel, whatever. If you got something that you can spare, please, ma'am, please, sir, give us your money.
Agreed. And on that note, that's where we're ending the show tonight. So, next week, we'll be presenting the recording of our panel from AVGC 2018, Stone Age Showdown Mascot Meltdown Sega Edition. With this year's AVGC being Sega-themed, we're doing another Stone Age Showdown where we're going to be deciding who the best Sega-related mascot character who isn't Sonic the Hedgehog is. We've brought names on board like Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel, Bug, Awesome Possum, Billy Hatcher, and of course, Bubsy. We're going to put all these characters into a bracket system, and a victor will be chosen tournament style. We had a ton of fun with the one we did recently at Long Island Retro, where we're choosing the best bad controller. I think this one's going to be a lot of fun, too. So there you go. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade KRIS. And Dan, where can the people find you?
At Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out the show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. Or if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. And we'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we'll have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for even more fresh original content. That's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.
Money.
Money.
Give us your money.